Well, let's move on, though, and talk about another fairly controversial piece of legislation. This is the bill around women in sports. I'm just wondering what the legality of this bill is and how it may play out, what the ramifications, if it actually passes. Dick Batchelor, have you taken a closer look at this bill and what are your thoughts on it?
Only what I've read, to be candid about it, it looks like it's a resolution to a problem that doesn't really exist. But again, it's the photo op opportunity here to basically take an issue that really resonates with the extreme right wing and basically focus on sports and transgenders participating in sports. There's an issue there. I don't know how to resolve that issue, but I think it's not a major issue. So, but I do understand why they're filing the legislation to garner some debate around this and kind of throwing red meat to the extreme right of the Republican Party. But it's almost like a solution in search of a problem.
And we're talking, just to remind our listeners, about the Women in Sports Bill, HB 1475, which would require anyone participating in girls and women's sports at the K-12 and college level to be biologically female. Frank Torres, is there kind of more of a national audience for this piece of legislation, do you think? And how would you see it playing out if it actually makes it all the way through and gets to the governor's desk?
I think it's a complete waste of time. I agree with Dick. It's photo op legislation. And you know, there's normally a fair amount of photo op legislation at every session, but we've got a lot going on right now, and I just think there's just so many areas involving the environment, involving economic development, and as well as other areas of government, including education. And we're worried about a transgender sports bill having to do with this particular subject in the middle of one of the most important sessions that we're having in some time. And I think it's one of these bills that when I see taking up time during hearings, I just want to roll my eyes because there's just so many other better things we can be working on. Dick knows from firsthand experience that this is a race against the clock, these legislative sessions. Mm-hmm. And to just see this, taking up a bunch of time when there's just so much going on, it's particularly frustrating.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with political commentators Frank Torres and Dick Batchelor, taking a look at what legislation is on the table midway through the 2021 legislative session. Let's take a look now at HB 161 and SB 544. These are bills that have been proposed by Democrats in Tallahassee. They would revise the composition of judicial nominating commissions. So currently the governor appoints 9 members to each of the 26 JNCs. 3 of those members are from a list recommended by the Florida Bar. Under this legislation, though, the governor would only appoint 3 members to each 9-member nominating commission. 3 others would be appointed by the Florida Bar. Then 6 members of each JNC panel would select the remaining 3 members. So the bills also provide that no more than 5 members of each commission be of the same political party. So just kind of taking a closer look at that, I'm wondering, what the ramifications may be of this bill, sort of changing the way those judicial nominating commissions are formulated and how they operate and what that means for the courts. Frank Torres, your thoughts on this?
Well, I think any bill that takes away power from a governor is going to, face an uphill climb. We've got a friendly legislature, and I think that's the situation that we have here. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's been a lot of controversy involving judicial nominees and those who have been selected to fill these spots on the bench around the state. And I think if there is one, I don't think this legislation is going to be too relevant, given the current climate in Tallahassee. But I think it is a very good thing that we're paying attention to the issue of judges and judicial nominations because it's really important. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, decisions are made, in Tallahassee and around the state where they've already happened and it wasn't even on our radar. A lot of, a lot of your casual voters, a lot of your regular residents living every day, just living their lives every day are unfortunately very blind when it comes to the issues of judges and how they're selected, and even some of the judicial elections when you go further down the ballot. So, I think the legislation will ultimately be ineffective, but it is a good thing that we're talking about it. if anything, just to educate people more on how the process works.
Mm-hmm. Dick Batchelor, is this an attempt by Democrats to keep DeSantis from loading up the courts with nominees that are friendly to his policies?
Yes. But let me, as a member of the legislature way back when, we mm-hmm. did what we call the Modified Missouri Plan for a judicial selection of judges, and where you basically have a judicial nominating commission that's balanced, and you would take names and advance them to the governor's consideration. But the Florida bar has a number of seats, as you've alluded to, and you try to depoliticize it, because we had problems with, we had two or three Supreme Court justices in Florida. They were, I think a couple of them went to jail. There was a lot of corruption amongst the judiciary. So the thought was, if we did a judicial nominating process where you nominate judges, it would take away some. Of course, circuit judges and county judges still run, mm-hmm. but the appellate level, you don't. There's an appointment process up to the Supreme Court. But the bar, the Republicans, frankly, do not want the bar to have the influence on the nominating commission. It is extremely political. And if you look at the Supreme Court, this is an observation, not a criticism. It's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court in Florida is extremely conservative. The governor's appointed extremely conservative, and I would argue some not very qualified to be on the circuit level of the bench. But any kind of legislation that would restrict the governor's hands so he can't further influence from his political philosophy regarding the selection of judges won't pass. Number one, if it did, it would be the first thing vetoed. It's just not going to happen. But again, it is political, obviously, because you're trying to insulate politics from judicial selection, but it is politicized at this point. So, but no legislation is going to pass or to be vetoed if it were to be passed.
So as far as legislative sessions go, oftentimes we find ourselves discussing constitutional amendments. This year, no different. There are a few things up for consideration here. HJR 61, SJR 1238. Both of these would increase the percentage of elector votes required to pass a constitutional amendment or revision from 60% to 66 2/3%. And they'd also allow an amendment to or revision to the state constitution to be repealed by the same percentage of electors that was required at the time of passage of such amendment or revision. Now, we've seen constitutional amendments passed and then the implementation of those delayed and delayed. So, you know, there's always going to be controversy around, first of all, these amendments making it through and then how they're implemented. But I wanted to talk to you both about what the impact of these may be if they're passed. Now, Dick Batchelor, as we saw in the presidential election, elections these days seem to be extremely close. With this resolution, amping up or lifting the bar on the percentage of electors needed to bring about a constitutional amendment, how do you see that affecting things moving forward?
Look at the overarching issue. It's another attempt by the radical legislature to restrict people's ability to have unfettered access to amend their own constitution. That's what it's about. It used to be 50% plus one vote. Then they move it to 60%. Now they want to move it to 66%. Because, God forbid, the legislature should allow the public to have a clear voice by amending their own constitution. That's all it's about. You know, they had a delay on the reinstatement of rights for former prisoners, right? And now they're talking about maybe a change in the minimum wage requirements, which is a conflict with the constitutional amendment passed. The legislature, this Republican legislature, does not like the public to have unfettered access to petition their own government. So they're making it hard. In fact, it was one provision to say it had to pass twice. You had to pass the constitutional amendment once, then you had to pass it again to be sure we got it right. So my suggestion would be, okay, you have to get elected twice. You get elected in November, and then I think you need to run again in December, because we might have gotten it wrong the first time around. It's from a philosophical standpoint, it's very onerous. It's a very offensive, because that's all they're trying to do is make it hard for you to petition. In fact, another thing, the John Morgan Amendment basically says you cannot give more than $3,000 to advance a constitutional amendment. Well, what is that about? That's about taking away funding for people to secure the signatures, which is very expensive, to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot.
Mm.
It's all it's about. It's about trying to keep God forbid the public should have the right to petition a government. That's what it's all about. It is radical.
Well, I just wanted to sort of close out by asking, you alluded to this at the top of our conversation, Frank, there are a lot of things that maybe you're not getting the headlines but are critical to pay attention to. I wonder if there's just a couple of pieces of legislation or things that you think it's particularly important to be keeping your eye on right at this point in time, whether it pertains to how we get out of this pandemic or other economic issues that are pressing at this point in time?
You know, I'm going to go it's a tough ask of an audience because it's just so wonky, but I'm going to go budget line items. I think that there have been a lot of, you know, I think the governor's veto pen is going to be especially powerful this year, and what's getting approved for our funds up there in Tallahassee is more important than ever, not only in addition to pandemic relief and making sure that, you know, we're providing enough aid to the sectors that need it, but also on more local issues for Central Florida, like pedestrian safety and, you know, road safety. A lot of times we're seeing, I mean, those items get X'd out with little thought given to them. But now we're just seeing so much, you know, so much activity and so many unfortunate events in our community that listeners really should be paying attention on how we're spending our dollars and what projects are making it through and what projects aren't making it through, especially this year when things are so tough.
Dick Batchelor, what do you think people need to be paying extra attention to besides the headline-grabbing bills?
I think getting back to some of the philosophy that's been reflected, the one thing that's unsettling, I think, to a lot of people is the preemption of local decision-making by the legislature. You know, you can't do masking regulations. You can't pass environmental standards that are more substantial than the state has set up. So the whole effort, recognizing that cities and counties are a creation of the legislature, I understand that, but local government, I think it was Jefferson said, the government closest to the people is the most effective government and the most responsive government. Why would the legislature now want to preempt local decision-making by the mayors and cities, the city council members and the county commissioners? So to me, that's kind of under the radar right now because there's so many things going on. And to borrow modifying term of Frank, I think that's strange.
Dick Batchelor, Democratic political commentator, former Democratic state representative, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you very much.
And we're also joined, of course, by Frank Torres, Republican political commentator. Frank, great to have you back as well.
Anytime.